Inspect Real Estate, or IRE, is an Australian-based software company that is passionate about creating quality, customized solutions for agents, tenants, buyers, and property owners, designed by agents for agents, because we care. IRE has now processed more than 108 million inquiries and is currently being used by thousands of industry leaders. There are many time-saving products, from booking and managing inspections within our flagship product ROL, creating and managing applications with ToApply and AppChecker, and tracking keys with Keyware, through to listing on Inspect Real Estate's free property portal, Tenant App, plus so much more. Visit inspectrealestate.com.au or give us a call on 1300 934 721.
Today, we have a guest who is not a property manager, but a strata manager. His name's Aidan Gorgi, and he is from Lockhart Strata Management. Aidan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit more about yourself, because I think last time I spoke to you, I think you were just getting into strata management. So give us a little bit of a brief history about sort of where you've been previously in your career and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so prior to this, I was working in property development and then went into real estate sort of to get a bit of experience in that sort of area and or within an agency, so to speak, and started in doing strata management. That was about nearly 5 years ago now. So I was at Salt in Applecross and working on their strata management portfolio there. So, and then, but I always had a goal really to work for myself. So I set up this business about 6 months ago. And basically just I guess realize that dream of working for myself, and it's been going really well. And
yeah, that was my next question, is Lockhart yours? Because I thought that you it must be your business. So that's really great to see. Where does the name Lockhart come from? What was the reason for that business name?
Yeah, good question. I was actually living on Lockhart Street in Como with a group of friends, and that was the idea sort of started around then, that, you know, the real dream would be to be working for myself, and strata management's a great sort of business to be able to do that in. So that's where that name come from. So
as simple as that, I was living on the street.
That's it. Yeah. I didn't want to get too bogged down with a name, because I'd probably still be thinking about a name now and wouldn't have even gotten started if I had been. So.
Yeah,
just that worked.
So talk to me a bit about sort of previous strata roles you've had, and then the need to sort of go out on your own. Did, from a strata manager's point of view, the interest of going out on your own, was that because potentially you saw strata management being done in a certain way and you wanted sort of to change the way you did it, or was it that you just had more that entrepreneur mindset and so you wanted to get into business?
Yeah, I think, well, where I was working, I had quite a lot of freedom and flexibility, so I kind of was really doing it the way I would have wanted to do it anyway. But I think it's more, in reality, it probably comes down to a lot of the income earning potential as well. I think that for strata managers, that income's probably fairly capped at if they're working for someone. But I guess if working for yourself, there's obviously no limit as to how much someone can earn and or how big they want to be with it. So I think that's something that was probably a pretty big motivator for me, because I do like the challenge to be constantly feeling as if I'm growing and challenging myself. And I think that working for someone else probably wouldn't have given me that sort of challenge I was looking for.
It would have just been, yeah, every day, you know, going in, doing your job, going home. So at least, by owning a business, you've got that challenge and those goals in place, yeah. Which is really good. So at the moment, is it just yourself? Have you got a team yet? Do you plan to have one?
No, it's just myself at the moment, and it's gone quite well. I've probably got you know, close to 20 buildings now, so different schemes. And it's quite, that is in itself is quite, it's not a large number at all, but it's a lot better than I would have thought it would have gone. So I'm really happy with that.
And, yeah. So comparisons to strata manager role to a property manager role, do you, are strata managers in that virtual assistant space like property management, or is that not really something that strata managers have or use, like offshore support?
I think there are some that are doing that, but I probably won't go down that path as such, because I feel like I'm offering a little bit more of a personalized service that people are sort of engaging with me because of the fact that I would be doing the work. And I do think there is a lot of benefit to it, but probably more suited to bigger companies rather than myself. And also, I'm not exactly sure how it works in terms of making sure that any offshore people have those qualifications that they need to have if they're doing strata management work. So that's something I'd have to look into as well. But
yeah,
at the moment, I think I'd probably stick with just local.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into a little bit about the property manager to strata manager communication. It's something that I love sort of exposing and just talking about, because there's definitely that gap where we have the same client, but sometimes we can work against each other a little bit. And I would imagine you would deal with a lot of property managers as well with things come up. Is there any common problem that you're seeing that us property managers are oblivious to, like something that we're doing that's like really frustrating? You've got permission to vent for about 2 minutes.
Sure. I think the biggest thing is that property management's quite different to strata, in that a property manager probably has a lot more authority in terms of getting work done on that particular place. If there was a hot water unit that went out or whatever the case is, they're almost somewhat expected in a way to attend to that urgently. But a strata manager is working for a council of owners, which could be potentially seven owners. And those seven owners could be theoretically representing 500 lots in one of the biggest schemes that are in WA. So it's not as easy to get decisions made, and there's also a lot more eyes questioning any decisions that are made. So people are probably more cautious to make sure that they've protected themselves and followed the right process. A property manager might be dealing with one owner or a husband and wife, and they can build that relationship with them, or they know that that owner is going to be fine with this, or they would prefer me to do that. It's a little bit more personalized. But with strata, it's not easy to do that. So I think property managers almost expect the strata manager to sort of instantly get it fixed, and it's not really possible to do that. We have to go through a process and send it to the council of owners, take an instruction from them, and it can just take longer. What I suggest is that if a property manager is not happy with how things are working out, their best course of action would be to go to the owner, who can actually become a member of the council and be actively involved in the decision making of that scheme. So that is probably a key difference that I find I have to explain to property managers. I have to go back to them. They follow me up quite regularly, and I say, look, there's nothing I can do. I can just forward your follow-up email on, but I'm waiting for instructions from them.
Do you find that it's hard to get people to be on the council of owners? Do people like rush to put their hand up, or is it quite hard to find owners wanting to do that role?
I think they want to join when there's something they're not happy about. If they're happy with everything going on in the scheme, they're probably less likely to join. And I explain that to owners as well, because they get a bit upset. They say, oh, no one wants to be involved in this building. So, well, it's probably not a bad thing, really. It means that they're happy. You know, you'll get people wanting to join the council of owners when they're not happy with what's happening. So,
yeah. So tell me then, because I think this might also be where a lot of property managers, we, you know, assume what certain roles are. Do in a property management world where we might have authority to deal with emergency maintenance and also we might have a maximum expenditure limit, do strata managers not have the same? Do they not have potentially authority to deal with anything emergency or authority to spend up to a certain amount of money?
Yeah, that would be individual to each scheme. So it's not something there by default. And I guess if there was a burst pipe or something like that, then, you know, that's something that they can get a work order to get it sorted out. Or if an owner had that issue, they could get that emergency work done and then seek reimbursement for it. But that's, I believe it would be quite different with property management compared to strata to have that sort of authority to undertake that work, because some of it could be quite costly and it's something that they need to approve. But most of it seems to be more larger maintenance items. Now, someone complaining about a brick wall that's cracked or painting work that needs to be done, much larger, bigger ticket items.
Mm.
And that really requires a process. In some cases, it might actually need to wait until an AGM to vary a budget to undertake that sort of work. So it's not as easy as property management where they can just flick an email to the owner and the owner says, yeah, go for it. They'd have to budget for it and make sure they've levied for it, and it's quite a process for that.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of those things, if they don't affect a tenant, hopefully property managers don't stay on your case about it more. Hopefully those things are sort of coming from those own occupiers when it comes to like crack brick walls and stuff. But when a property manager reports maintenance to you, I was talking at an event not long ago, and I was saying one thing that I feel is that there needs to, yes, I think property managers need to be educated, but I think a lot of owners, investors, I should say, need to be educated as well, because what happens is a property manager will call up an owner and say something like, let's just say, use a fence, for example, the fence is cracked. And then an owner just automatically says, contact the strata. Now, the property, the gap I feel is that, and I'm not saying there's right or wrong from a property management or strata management point of view, but what happens is a property manager just works on the instructions of an owner, doesn't seek to find out whether that fence was part of the strata's responsibility or not. So then the owner just says to the property manager, give it to the strata, tell them to sort it out. Property manager goes to strata, tells you to sort it out. You come back to us to say it's not under strata. We go back to the, you know, to the owner and tell them that. But I guess I feel like there's a need, and I don't know if this is unrealistic to expect, but I just feel like it would be so helpful, is like a little summary for each scheme which says things like, fencing issues, refer to strata, or, you know, roof leak issues, owner's responsibility, you know, just those real common things that come up that would be so helpful, so that if we do have that fence issue, we call the owner and they say, just give it to the strata, then a property manager has the confidence to say, well, actually, no, it's not actually the strata responsibility. What can we do about it? And then keeps that conversation going with the owner. I know that's like in an ideal world, but in my mind, I'm thinking like, surely something like that would be helpful for you guys as well.
Yes. Yeah. I believe it would be, but there's also quite a lot of complexity with some of the boundaries that the Act has its rules around what is included and not within a lot, but then there's also an option for the surveyor at the time of doing that development. They could have listed alternative boundaries as well, so it's quite individual to each scheme. And I guess they could put together a summary, but it can be quite complicated, and whoever's putting that document together would need to make sure that they've got it exactly correct and they've considered all the possible items. So,
and scenarios as well. So what you're saying is that it's not a problem for us to go to you to ask you. We're not annoying you by doing that.
No, not at all. I think that's a good method, and an owner would want to, they just want to check to make sure that if it can be paid under strata, then they probably would prefer that. So they've checked that first, and if it's not and it's their responsibility, then you know, that's at least they feel like they've checked it, because there's probably owners paying for a lot of things that the strata should have paid for.
So is it annoying for strata managers, like if we have a repair that we've done and we, let's just use actually probably a plumbing one, which is probably a pretty self-explanatory, but a plumbing issue, property managers just organised it, not told the strata manager, but then plumber's gone out and seen that it's actually going in, it's affecting the strata, it's a strata pipe. Getting those works done and then sending you the invoice. When property managers have arranged work that then subsequently is a strata responsibility, is that a bit of a pain in your backside, or is that sort of like a simple process?
No, that's quite simple. It's good if they have that on the invoice, a report of the issue. So I would pass that on to the council of owners to basically say that this has come through and this is the report from their plumber to say, you know, it's a blocked pipe, but it's actually outside of the lot. It's in the common area.
Yeah.
And take an instruction from them on that. So that is helpful. And normally they'll ask for reimbursement as well. So I'll include that within the email to say that because strata issued, you accept or agree to reimburse the owner the cost of that call out.
Yeah.
And yeah. So normally they're okay with that too.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. That's good to know. I'm actually doing my self training here while I'm talking to you, learning all these things, which is really helpful.
It's good.
So one other thing that I am doing a little bit, I won't lie, and I'm sure people that are listening out there are doing the same thing, and there might be a few goody two shoes that are doing it properly. However, sometimes life gets a bit busy and I receive the minutes of the meetings and I just save it in the client's folder and I forward them on a copy and I don't read it. Is it very important for property managers to read the minutes of the meeting and bring themselves up to date with what's happening?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
OnTap Plumbing and Gas covers all Perth areas from Mandurah to Toorox and has a team of plumbing, drainage and hot water experts. They have an amazing reputation for their excellent service and quality workmanship on time, every time, and it is easy to see why they are a favourite to many Perth property managers. Whether you just need some friendly advice or an obligation-free quote, look no further than OnTap Plumbing and Gas.
I wouldn't say so. I'd say a lot of the items are routine matters that probably aren't of significant relevance to property management, insurance, setting budgets and levies, unless the property manager was interested in those types of items. I'd say that if there was any major work that was being programmed, it might be in there that might affect tenants, or if there was some major roof work happening or some other works taking painting work, or that might be shown in the minutes, and the property manager might want to just make a note of it so that they can let the tenants know if they're going to be inconvenienced by it or anything like that. But I wouldn't necessarily say so. I'd say that the minutes are probably more of an item for the owner to read through. But if the property manager wanted to, I'd say by all means, go through it and see if there's anything they've got any queries on or things that they would wish to highlight to the owner. That's not a bad idea.
Amazing, because I was feeling a little bit guilty over that. So I feel a little bit better now, which is good.
Yeah.
The last one I want to talk about is the breaches that strata managers can do to tenants. Now, this may or may not be WA specific. So if you're listening to this and you're in another state, you'd have to check your rules there. But in WA, a strata manager can breach a tenant. Now, where I find this quite hard and frustrating, and good just to hear your, like, a strata manager's side of it so that we understand, is I once had a tenant who I actually feel he was bullied in this complex, but he was picked on a lot anyway. He got a breach for maybe it was I think it might have been being unclean in a common area or making a mess in a common area or something like that. Oh, and noise. So he gets the breach. He calls me about it. I said, listen, I don't know much about the breach or the complaint. Contact the strata. Strata then say, we can't speak to a tenant. We're not speaking to him. And then I was like, well, it's super annoying because the strata manager's breached the tenant but won't even speak to them directly about it. And then I've got to be a middleman trying to pacify a tenant who said he didn't do it, a strata manager who says they did. And then I felt like it was just easier if they just sorted out between themselves. But we had to get involved. So does that come up a lot? Because it was quite, I know breaches don't happen a lot for tenants from stratas, but it was quite a very hard situation for me to navigate.
Yeah, there's a lot of politics that goes on in a strata, and I try not to get involved in that too much. And with things like bylaw breaches, I just act on an instruction from the council of owners or the strata company from the right through their appropriate channels. And that a bylaw breach here basically needs to go to the tribunal for its enforcement. So unless the strata company is going to go to that length to enforce the bylaws, then I'd say they're probably taking it more as a warning than anything, because the likelihood of the strata company taking it all the way to the tribunal because someone has left some mess in the common property, it's probably unlikely, but I can't speak for every scheme. Mm. So I try not to get involved too much, and if there is a breach that's been sent to a tenant or an owner, I make it quite clear that this has come from the council of owners. It's a majority decision of their elected members at the AGM. Mm. And if they have a problem with it, well, there's a democratic process that they can follow, that they could join the council of owners, they can talk to them, they can discuss it. It's really not something that I've done. I don't go around to strata buildings and issue breach notices to people just on my own accord, just taking instructions from them. And that's about it, really. So I try not to get involved in it, and I think that works best for everyone to just take an instruction through that process. And really it doesn't have much to do with me after. If they want to take it to the tribunal, that's well outside of my scope anyway. So,
yeah, absolutely. So the last thing that I just want to do is just quickly talk about the legislation changes that are happening in WA. Around pets that are happening this year. And owners currently have a choice of whether they want to accept pets or not. When this legislation comes through, a landlord will need to accept pets unless there is a very good reason, which could be a strata bylaw to prevent it. Where this, I think, will affect you guys and be quite interesting is I'm positive that I've seen some stratas where there might be like an old lady in a complex that has a cat and she has lived and she owns one of the units. She's been in the unit for 20 years, has a cat, but that's sort of a special arrangement, and they're not allowed pets in the complex. So I guess what I'm worried about is that tenants will see that, little old Betty's got a cat, and then just go and get a cat or go get a dog, and then we're going to have a problem in a strata position. Is there any talk in the strata industry about this legislation coming in and concerns?
Not that I've been had too much involvement in, but I have seen instances come up like that. And my advice to them is that they should change the bylaws. Then they should change the bylaws to reflect what is the actual intent of what they're looking for. If having no pets was something that was registered decades ago, maybe they need to look to bring it in line with something that's a bit more modern, rather than just a complete ban on having pets. And I think that, again, the enforcement of the bylaws is something that the council of owners would do. So if they're choosing not to enforce it, but then they do choose to enforce it against a tenant, that could cause them an issue as well, that they're not applying or they're not enforcing the bylaws equally across the scheme. So it would be advisable that they make an amendment to the bylaws and then make it something that's applicable across the scheme and is fair to all the owners.
Yeah. Have you heard of pets being massive issues in strata schemes? Does it come up as a problem? Do they come up as a problem?
It has come up as a problem in the past, and it is almost a situation that you're explaining. There's, you know, someone who's been in their scheme for a long time that has a pet. Bylaws say that pets are not allowed. A new owner comes in and would like to have a pet, and they're using that as a precedence. So, you know, that they would need to amend the bylaws. That was my suggestion to them to do that. But then there's some legal costs involved in doing that. And you know, it's ultimately the owner's decision whether they want to go down that route or not.
Because I would rather, like, I always prefer no pets in strata. Even if the strata says yes, you can, I still don't like pets in there. I can only imagine it'd be an absolute headache, because not only have you obviously got animals inside little units and potentially barking or being left at home, but then you've got the common area and then them pooing over the common area. And, you know, if there's dogs that don't like each other and you're walking them around, I just feel like it's not a suitable environment. But that's probably a bit old school of me. I just don't feel like it's a suitable environment to have pets in a complex.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that's most of the new buildings, they seem to allow smaller dogs and, you know, or other sort of pets, but without having to get to ask for consent for that. But yeah, I think it's probably a part of people's life, and if developers developing schemes didn't allow pets full stop, that might actually affect their ability to sell the units. There might be buyers out there who want to buy the unit and have a small dog, and if the bylaws say they're not allowed to have pets, they might not buy into that scheme. So I think if they're excluding pets altogether, they might be affecting their ability to sell units as well. So I think it would probably be unlikely that they would trend towards a ban on pets altogether.
Yeah, I just find it so weird, like going into a lift and there's a dog in there. Like I mean, I also feel like, in defense to that, there could be people that don't want to buy into a complex that also allows pets. Like it could potentially be the other way. Just random story. I was in the US a couple of years ago now, and I'm sitting on an American Airlines flight, and I kid you not, the lady next to me has a white poodle, not even like a little tiny poodle, a poodle. And she has it in a carrier. She's like window seat. I'm in the middle. And I was thinking that was a bit weird, but I was like, okay with it. But then she, and I'm not even making this up, she asked the host, like the host people, the plane people, can't think of the name right now, if they've got any dog food when they were going around. And in my head, I'm thinking, please do not sit and feed this dog food while I'm sitting right next to you. Like, for me, it just grossed me out. But I guess that's sort of just what, like, you know, like you said, you know, living in, moving with the times with the apartments, and that, you know, at what point do you stop that? Because planes and animals is not for me.
No, I've had that similar sort of experience as well in the US, as someone has a cat or something in the plane. And yeah, it's quite unique. So, I mean, I think with these bylaws here, that the council of owners have the option to ask someone to remove a pet if it becomes a nuisance. So I would say that that's probably a way that they're, I guess, pleasing both sides to say that, well, if there is a pet that's a nuisance, they can ask for it to be removed. They're not guaranteed the right to have that animal there. So,
yeah, interesting. Well, it'll be interesting when it's when the changes come in and how everyone's affected. So we'll have to probably chat again when that is when that's happening. But
definitely.
Thank you very much. I know I had sort of a few situations to bring up as well, but I think it's just quite good just to hear about, like, they're sort of, for me, the common things that come up. So it's really great to sort of have some insight from a strata manager with regards to that, and appreciate you coming on. I think this is definitely the start of doing property managers doing more with strata managers and you know, working together, understanding your role, what you do, and having someone like yourself that's safe enough to call up and say, "Hey, I just need a hand with this. What do you think?" Property managers, I do encourage you all to affiliate yourself with a strata manager that you like to help you in these situations as well, because we're definitely going to get a lot further with working together when we can have those discussions. So
definitely.
Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And when I've got another curly situation, I will give you a call.
Look forward to it. And thank you so much for having me.
Inspection Express is no doubt the leader when it comes to streamlining property management tasks for landlords and property managers to save time and increase efficiency, particularly with their paperless inspection system. Their mission is to simplify the property management process, and now with their partnership with TAPI, there are some amazing new benefits to help deal with maintenance requests on site to further improve property managers' lives. Book in your demo with the team today.